Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
A couple of decades ago, there was a commercial for Coca-Cola that claimed it's the real thing. If this is before your time, just Google it. There was another trend during those years, basically, how to be real. I also recall another phrase, it's the real deal. Incidentally, that phrase inspired marketing strategies, shareable images, at least one podcast, creative pictures, and use in daily conversation. Essentially, it means the real thing, genuine, not fake, not imitation, and not a copy. There's a lot going on today in your daily life, in our country, and of course around the world. And what's going on affects everyone. Some of it is concerning. In fact, some folks struggle with fear because of everything that's going on. Interestingly, because of this very condition and upheaval, you have an opportunity. You can be real. Yes, the real deal, the real you. But what does that mean exactly? So let's explore. Well, we could start with strengths, but honestly, to be real, we should start with weaknesses and limitations. After all, everyone has them. Sooner or later, a person comes face to face with how limited and weak they are. If a person doesn't face those realities and learn to manage them, they may live in a fantasy world, or they might give in to deceptive compromises to make life look as real as possible. Hopefully, they will not become hardened. Sadly, none of those options promote healthy living. The healthiest people are aware of their weaknesses and limitations. This awareness accomplishes several critical action points, and I'm going to list five of them. The first one, it keeps you humble. That's an excellent checkpoint against pride. Second, forces you to deal with real deal scenarios that fill your life. The third thing is that it motivates you to work at your life. Improve your weaknesses. Expand your limitations. The fourth thing is that it helps you identify with others. After all, everyone has weaknesses and limitations. And then the fifth critical action point is that awareness of these action points literally launches your continued quest on how to be real. So, spend time with your weaknesses and limitations, but not too much time. For starters, identify them, then pray over them. Additionally, develop a plan to grow beyond your weaknesses and limitations. Thankfully, healthy people are in touch with those five critical action points that flow from knowing their weaknesses and limitations. And let's just breeze through those things again. The five things keeps you humble, forces you to deal with the real deal scenarios in your life. It motivates you to work at your life. It helps you identify with others, and the awareness of those action points launches your continued quest on how to be real. Let's talk about real people. We actually explored what healthy people do in their weaknesses and limitations. In that way, healthy people simply are the real deal. Interestingly, specific traits mark real people. In fact, you can spot them. Incidentally, the character traits they practice give them confidence. Remarkably, their practiced character opens opportunities to make a difference in the world. Characteristics real people possess include the following: authenticity, honesty, commitment, kindness, sincerity, awareness of their weaknesses and limitations. And here again is a little list of what they are aware of. They admit them. they learn to manage them. Strategically, they navigate through or around them. They grow through them. They coexist with them in healthy ways. They thoughtfully apply coping options. And they sincerely engage them with eagerness to grow. What a helpful list! All these are great traits to possess and pass on to others. Most people would say, "I'm working on it," if you ever asked them, "Do you know how to be real?" But life gets complicated. Consequently, the test is practicing characteristics of real people in all the unexpected scenarios that develop. In order to manage your weaknesses and limitations, start by asking good questions. Here we go. Have you identified your weaknesses and limitations? That's a really good place to start. Next, have you admitted them? Third, do you manage them with a good plan? Then, do you remind yourself it's normal to have weaknesses and limitations? Further, are you one of the healthy, real people that addresses them? And then finally, what will you do to keep your weaknesses and limitations from defining you? Here's a helpful scripture from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. "When I am weak, then I am strong." Paul faced his weaknesses and limitations by turning to Jesus to learn. In other words, that's where your strength is, in Christ. Oddly, when Paul, first of all, chose to believe Jesus, and then second, got real about his limitations and weaknesses, he discovered the secret of strength in weakness. Practically speaking, how does a person find strength in weakness and limitations? Let's look at some options. Following Jesus does not exempt you from weaknesses or limitations. However, you must manage them. In fact, by regularly engaging these action points, you build strength and confidence into your life. So here we go with some practical options. The first best option is always do what Paul did. Turn to Jesus. Actually, this is your very first and very best step to address weaknesses and limitations. Simply admit you need his help. Jesus is for you. Plus, he will train you and give you power. Incidentally, he's given you promises and helpful commands. Subsequently, if you claim these promises and obey his commands, you'll find new strength and confidence rising in your life. So, if you turn to Jesus in your weaknesses and limitations, you find new strength and confidence to live successfully. The second point, the option that you have, is earnest prayer. Approach God with confidence. That's mentioned in Hebrews 4, 16. Incidentally, he is the real deal, so be real with him. Tell him the truth about yourself. Include what you need help with. In fact, admit you can't do life without him. This is an intimate relationship with the living God. Also, it's both undeserved and an incredible privilege. So then the third practical option that you have at your disposal is this. Ask God to help you. This is part of prayer, but it's more. Ask specifically for resources like wisdom, creative ideas, guidance, perseverance. Ask for resolve and power. Ask for acceptance, for the ability to forgive, for healing, maybe a change of heart. Ask for insight, and so on. In other words, whatever you need, ask for it. John 14:13 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So invite God. Follow what the psalmist says in chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. test my thoughts, point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God already knows everything about you. Simultaneously, God wants to show you His heart, His mind, His love for you, and His power to help you. Basically, you can confidently ask God to help you because God is for you. All right, we've got another practical option. It's number 4, trust and obey God with resolve. So that's the next one. Essentially, resolve means to cling to whatever lasts forever. This is how you trust and obey God. Truly, it's rare. Still, when you practice resolve to do whatever good needs to be done, you also practice Christ's character. But how do you get resolve? Well, first of all, you tell God you need Christ's resolve. The second thing is you invest your energy to trust and obey Him no matter what. Third, you rest in God even as an unfinished person. Then fourth, you keep doing this and you never stop. Actually, this process turns into resolve. So, tell God you need Christ's resolve. Next, invest your energy to trust and obey Him, no matter what. Finally, rest in God even as an unfinished person and keep doing this without stopping, which, of course, turns into resolve. Resolve brings results. Doing good in this world, that's a result. How about this one? Loving God with your whole heart. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will obey me." That sounds like a result waiting to happen. Here's another result, loving others. And Matthew 22, verse 39 says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So the action point, resolve to trust and obey God no matter what. There's a fifth option you have available to you. Praise God ahead of His answers. What a privilege to approach God anytime in His perfect holiness. With reverence, respect, and worship, approach Him. Simultaneously, praise Him sincerely from your heart. And additionally, thank Him for His promises. Interestingly, praising God is a deliberate choice, not a feeling. Uniquely, it's a desire to please God and a statement that you believe Him. Plus, it provides opportunity to practice Christ's character. Eventually, you notice joy in your heart as you follow the man of joy. Scripture says, God inhabits the praises of His people. Inhabits means lives. So He lives in the praises of His people. Psalm 22, verse 3. You make your home on the praises of Israel. God literally makes His home on your praises. Now you have another option. Number 6, wait for His answer. You must wait many times. During that wait, be faithful to God who is unfailingly faithful to you. Let your testimony be, I trust Him through it all. It's my best decision ever. Jesus is praying for you. Romans 8:26 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Remind yourself of this. Plus, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you, from Hebrews 13, verse 5. In other words, Jesus wants you to be the person that He created. So be real in Christ. Be yourself. Let's basically quickly review those practical options you have available to you. Number 1, turn to Jesus. 2, engage in earnest prayer. 3, ask God to help you. 4, trust and obey with resolve. And then we went through how to develop resolve. The next one, number 5, is to praise God ahead of his answers. And number 6 is to wait for his answer. Now, let's talk about your strengths. As you wrap your arms around your weaknesses and limitations, they will only add to your strengths that you possess. Most people are aware of their strengths. This includes skill sets, abilities, passions, and so on. Amazingly, you add another strength by learning how to manage your weaknesses and limitations. Here are some application thoughts and questions. First, do you know how to be real? Second, are you aware of your weaknesses and limitations? Third, what's your plan to manage them? Fourth, do you ask God to help you be authentic? Number 5, are you resolved to trust and obey? 6, do you praise him ahead of his answers? And 7, are you willing to wait for his answers? Portions of this content come from our book, It's Your Move. This is a devotional book that takes you through Romans and powerfully challenges you to live with perspective and purpose. You can find this book in our bookstore, www.aliveandactivelife.org/store. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.